Appreciate it. I'm here with Patricia, and you go by both names, or you're both your last names? Is that right? Which one do you use?
Yes. Professionally, I use Patricia Felton Montgomery.
Patricia Felton Montgomery. I'm David Lauderdale with Brian Tolley and Rick Brundret. tell us why you're running. You're in a Sun City seat.
Yes.
Why are you running?
Well, I'm running because I was asked by citizens if I would run. And quite frankly, at first I said no. And although I understood why they were asking. And then I prayed about it because I did not want it to be about ego. I wanted it to be something that I should do. After all, most of us come here to retire, older residents. And although I have not been fully retired, as my sons say, even though I've been retired since 2008, I've been doing consulting all over the country. For example, last year I did over 80-some days of consulting. But the more I thought about it, I was concerned for these reasons, and so I agreed to run. One of the things about education, one of the lovely things, is that we not only teach academics, but we also teach the whole child in terms of personal and social and moral development. And so I, like everyone else, was reading the paper every day. I'm a subscriber and so to your paper. And so when I read the developments in regard to the superintendent's wife, I thought, that's odd. It's not odd for people in the same family to work in school districts, because very often school districts are the largest employers in an area all over this country. What is unusual is for someone to hire someone that will directly report to them. And so that was unusual. And that as this was happening, there was some kind of change in terms of the rule or policy. And since, as adults, we should be setting a moral compass as we educate our youth, that was a concern to me. For someone who has been involved in education over 40-some years. And having worked in administration a good while, I couldn't understand why there was not contractually some kind of ethics clause. It's probable that you have some kind of ethics clause in your contract. It's not just in terms of education, it's in terms of business and industry. Sometimes it's subtle, but it's there. And so further, when the board did not take any actions relative to their own policy, that was another concern. So then I said to myself, well, maybe they're waiting to see if indeed there's been an ethics violation. Not judging ahead of time, although as the board you should know, because you should know whether someone has acted in keeping with your policy or not. And in an early interview, one of the earliest with the Hilton Head Island Monthly, I spoke in terms of, I was not certain, I'm not going to denigrate someone personally. This isn't a personal concern, it's a professional concern. But then when you plead to two counts of ethics charges, and there are plead guilty to that, and there's a hint that in terms of the Ethics Commission itself, that as they said, they think that at minimum, that poor decision making was involved, then I think it's appropriate for a board in their role as keepers of the faith for the community to take action, if only in terms of a reprimand. Ironically, the incumbent spoke in terms of a colleague in a way that the board members thought was inappropriate. And they acted quickly in terms of that, but you would not act quickly in terms of an ethics violation by your superintendent. I don't quite understand that. Another reason is that since I have devoted my life to education, I have long been concerned about student achievement. And certainly, this district and its teachers and administrators should be commended for the growth that has been made. But I had been to board meetings before I decided to run. And one of the things that struck me was when data is reported, most often it is reported relative to the state without pointing out that student performance is pretty low compared to the same kind of calibrations nationally. South Carolina, after all, is in the lower tier of states in reference to student performance. And so while we want to tout movement, particularly in the last few years, we also have to be honest with the public of where children are in reference to their colleagues across the nation. Now, do I understand that? Because certainly I've seen it before, but I would hope that we would report student achievement across all parameters so that parents in the community can have a true picture of what's happening. The other reason, and this is a long answer, but I'm going to touch on what I've said in many surveys, the other is the achievement gap. This district has a 15-year history of an achievement gap, a significant one, for minority students. And in this day and time, there are research-based models that can eliminate that. Certainly one step that they took was in terms of beefing up the early childhood program, having a pre-K through 12 program. And that will certainly help children to read by the third grade, but it doesn't help the children who are in the upper grades now. And so we can't just wait and let these go on not fully prepared. And so that concerns me as well. All right?
What do you think is the true read if parents are not getting the true read on this, on the status of our schools? Do you think if you were using a national comparison, Beaufort County would show it needs more help?
Yes.
And is the true read a concern, or is it just in pockets of the county?
Well, certainly, as in any district, there are variations across a district of student performance. But if you look at the student report card, for example, you will see that in grades 3 through 5 in English language arts, although there's been movement from the teens to the low 20s in terms of percent passing on the act. Compared nationally, when we're scoring 60% passing or better, that's a big gap, you know? And perhaps I notice it more because I moved from a state that has some of the highest student performance in the nation, and that's New Jersey. And so we compete as a state with other states, North Carolina and Georgia, but the concept of that you are only competing in your state or you're only competing in the region, when we're preparing students, we're competing with people across the world. And so we have to be cognizant of that.
What are you hearing from the community as you're out campaigning and asking people for their vote? What kind of message do you get?
Well, I have tried, contrary to a little piece in your paper, that I have been highly critical of Moss. I have been critical of the things that I have just described, all right? Not of him personally. And I've never been negative in meet and greets or any forum that anyone, and if you read the answers to questions, you'll see that. Basically, this board has lost the trust of the community. I think we all know that. And primarily, I hear things like, we want everybody presently on the board out. I don't think that's fair. I think some members have responded in a different kind of way. Are you running against Roth? Yes. I want him out. Now, that's not to say that there are not people who want Mr. Roth. I obviously am not talking to them as much, but certainly he wouldn't be in the position if he did not have supporters. But by and large, I get a sense of that people are ready for a change. They want, when they come to board meetings, for people to speak to them respectfully, whether you agree with them or not. They want to be heard in regard to their concerns. If you talk to teachers, everything isn't hunky-dory. You guys did a wonderful expose on the cost of living here for teachers, why so many of them have to leave, why they room together, why they need support from parents. So to say that everything is perfect is not appropriate. And so we have a very high intellectual constituency here. And you can't snow people. And so those are some of the comments that I hear. Certainly the other comments I hear are, and I think it's appropriate, I don't think it's just about me, and that is that people are interested in diversity on the board and someone who has had experience in education. So we have one board member who'd served as a principal, but no one has served in all of the capacities that I have served in. No one has worked with boards as a consultant as I have. No one has worked with low-performing school districts across the country as I have. So people do say that they think I will bring something different to the board, a needed expertise, and I think that's appropriate. Yes.
What have you learned? What have you learned that helps with the low performing schools?
Well, one of the other areas, and I can't speak very deeply about this, but this is what I've learned about low-performing schools. One, that it's very often the leadership. So a lot of my work, even though I do professional development with teachers, most of my work in recent years has been what we call executive coaching, because it's the leader that sets the tone and vision. And so I work very closely with principals, assistant principals, district leaders, and then with school improvement teams, because if teachers buy into that it's not a fault or it's not about where the children come from or their parents, none of us pick our parents, and that they can be critical change makers in children's lives, that's what I found, and what the research shows really works. The other is that there's a very sound, standards-based curriculum, and that's across the district. Because some districts, of course, have very much more mobility than others. But in all districts, children move. So you may be in one elementary school this year, or a couple of years, and you go to another elementary school another year. And if the curriculum is not consistent across the district, then you start getting gaps even in children that could achieve very well. There also has to be vertical articulation in districts that do very well, have vertical articulation between the elementary, middle, and high school programs. And then there has to be fidelity to whatever programs or models that are used. unfortunately, we in education are big buyers of models and programs, and we don't always use them to fidelity. And so then we don't get the results, and then we go on to the next program. But if you use the program to fidelity in terms of it got the results received because this is how the program or model was implemented, then you get those results.
What do you think about the penny sales or the sales tax?
As you know, I'm against it, and I'm against it for these reasons. Not because there may not be a need for some capital improvements, but the data that the board has presented to us, the superintendent, as citizens, is only substantiated by 5 years' worth of data at most. And so there's a 10-year ask, but the data is really based upon a 5-year look. That's in terms of student growth. The other concern I have is that this district has, almost every year that I've lived in this area, lacks about 200 to 250 teachers. That's a couple of elementary buildings, a middle school, and certainly a high school. And if you can't fill those buildings, if you can't fill every position you need in that, how are you going to fill them in new buildings? Some of the projection was based on the port, and we all know that that's been pushed back in terms of the years. So there were, if you look at even the ballot, you see that, for example, and I'm not telling people how to vote in regard to this, but if you even look at the county 1 cent ask, there's a clear itemization in regard to there by each project. If you look at the school districts, it's not. It's a big lump sum, and then things are listed. I think we as citizens should ought to know. So those are some of the reasons why.
Do you, thinking over...
And it's certainly, excuse me, not being against facilities. I've worn my hard hat in school districts as well. Yes.
When you talk about trust and relationship with the community, looking at last night's meeting and how the board handled the conversation over makeup days,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel that went?
Well, not the way, the best that it could have gone. And you asked me about what if some people said to me. One of the, and again, I have touted this because some research supports this. And so this was similar, watching it, to me, of the whole discussion about the change of school times. And parents didn't feel like they were truly listened to, that a decision was made, and they were not truly listened to in regard to that. Now, you're not going to please everybody. But again, you can be respectful about why you're doing something. You can share in more detail what's prompted it, the research behind it, why you're doing it. And then you can listen, because there may be, you know, we as educators aren't the only ones with brains. So somebody else may have another idea that may work. So we have to listen.
And so that the vote last night, did you go to the meeting last night?
No, I was campaigning. I've been to many recently, but not last night.
Did that one look to you like they did not listen to the public?
I think, again, that in this climate, sometimes you have to bend over backwards. When you know that there is a lack of trust and that people don't feel that they have been listened to, I think then... you have to be very cognizant of that and how you communicate with people.
Mm-hmm. And what have been your role? What have been your roles? You have not been on a school board.
No, I haven't.
But you've been principal.
Yes.
And central office, that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes.
And what is most of your consulting with low performing schools, or what is it?
Most of it is. Not all, but most of it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be in a central office position without interacting with the board. And so certainly in these roles, from principal on up, you interact with the board. You know, you have responsibility for preparing board packets and getting them out soon enough so that the board has a chance, board members can read them and raise questions even if they want to, so that when they're in committee, this board operates by committee. Some boards operate as a whole. This board primarily operates by committee, so that there's more than ample time for questions to be asked if you're not understanding what you're going to have to act on. That's really important. And so you try to prepare packets that thoroughly, you don't want your board members to be caught off guard. One of the worst things as a central office person is for a board member to be in Publix, I'll say Publix here, but if I was in Jersey, I'd say Pathmark or ShopRite. You know, you don't want them to be caught in a public arena, and they don't know. They haven't been thoroughly briefed. That's necessary. And it's your role as a board member, if you don't feel thoroughly briefed, if you don't understand something, to be sure and prepare. You can't get up in a meeting and say, what are we voting on? not have a sense of what is going on in the meeting, and it be clear to the public that you haven't prepared yourself.
What are your thoughts about the board going into executive session?
Well, as I said, I've answered so many questionnaires, and certainly executive sessions are often appropriate if you are talking about personnel matters. However, an executive session during a board meeting, again, is not a time to work out details. So executive sessions should not be the public comes to a meeting that's supposed to start at a certain time, and then you go in executive session 15 minutes later, and you're in it for 45 minutes. That's rude to the public. Again, you have time to know what's going to be on the agenda, or you should have time if central office is operating correctly. And so unless something, and certainly every now and then you're thrown off and something comes up that you was not expected, but that shouldn't be most of the time.
You mentioned this, the number of teachers who have to be hired each mm-hmm. year. What would you do about that? What can the board do about that?
Well, I mean, recently they have gone to an agency and they're trying to work in terms of that. But, you know, teacher recruitment is, there are several things. First of all, you have to have very aggressive teacher recruitment, and it has to be all year long, not just near the end of the year or the summer as you're getting ready for the next year. This has to be all the time. I think they are finally coming to understand that a little. You have to have an understanding of where you're getting most of your excellent teachers. You just can't do a scattergun approach. If you are getting most of your teachers from College A, you develop a good relationship with that person in the School of Education so that you can always have a feed line in regard to that. You're at college fairs all of the time. You also work with the developers in your area. One of the concerns that you have pointed out is the cost of living here compared to teacher salaries makes it, let's say, beginning teacher $35,000, but it really only buys about $25,000. So the cost of living is a real issue. And certainly housing is part of that, which is another reason why I'm not for the 1 cent tax at this time, because it's a regressive tax. And who is it going to hurt most? The very teachers that you're supposedly trying to help. So the other part is to work with developers who can give incentives for people to come here and stay here and teach in regard to incentives for rent, incentives if you stay a certain number of years, It's not the board's role to be a realtor, but they can work with other organizations. The other is that we really need to be working with the state in regard to teacher salaries, a base salary. Years and years ago, one of our governors in New Jersey, Governor Kane, made a floor. You know, salaries couldn't be any less than, at that time, I think it was $25,000. But that's like 15, 20 years ago. Maybe it's longer than that.
Forgive me for asking, that our teachers unionized in New Jersey?
Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, they are, and it's one of the strongest unions in the nation. But that made a difference with regard to whether, and I'm not touting unions. What I'm saying is you work with the legislature, you work with your chief of education in your state so that you can put into place, and the legislature certainly did this last time around, so that you can put in place incentives, increases in salaries in terms of the minimum that you want in your state, so that you get quality people and they stay.
What have you learned by being a candidate?
Well, I've certainly learned more about the community that I live in because I've met so many wonderful people. I have been more than touched by the people who've offered to have meet and greets in their homes, by community organizations. You know, this is a nonpartisan race, and I am glad of that. But I have had support from all sides of the aisle, and I think that's really wonderful in regard to our community, because that's saying no matter what your political persuasion may be, you realize that schools are very important, and you're willing to support candidates that you think may be good for the school district, and at least for them to have a voice, to have a forum, so that citizens can hear. I've been very, very impressed with that. What else have I learned? Certainly, I didn't run and know in the beginning, know everything about the school district, and I still don't. I've taken time to study, to learn, to go to more board meetings as I've been running, to do research into things like Act 30. 388, all of those kinds of things so that I can learn more. I may not get elected, but it would be foolish. How can I run without preparing myself? So that's what I've learned.
Yeah.
I've learned that there's some beautiful teachers. The Teachers Association here has endorsed me, and we've, as I hope I'm having here, we've had a frank discussion. Basically, we agree on a lot of points. We don't agree on everything. That's going to be all the time. But I think they endorse me because they know that I will study, I will prepare, I will try to be very ethical, I'll try to be very transparent, and I'll try to help to provide, not micromanage as a board member, but in my role, help to provide the kinds of resources that teachers need to do their best.
Well, I appreciate your time. I think we're about at 30 minutes, and I appreciate it very much.
And it didn't cut off, did it?
It didn't cut off. I didn't get it.